Translation, therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed of fruit of activities artificially created by the modes of material nature, and stop the flow of the intelligence in wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. In other words, and one takes because the consciousness is ignorance is immediately dissipated. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mam sayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samchichaitan brahma bhujaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service does not fall down in circumstance. It once transcends the nose of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahma. And by the practice of bhakti yoga, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform transcendental to the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. The root of ignorance is material consciousness, which must be killed by spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. The word bija nirhana refers to burning the root cause of material life, the ashes. In the Medini dictionary, yoga is explained by its result. Yoga purvarta samprapta sangati jnana yuktichu. When one is put into an awkward position because of ignorance, the process by which one can be freed from this entanglement is called yoga. This is also called liberation. Mukti chitpanyata rupam sarupena vivasati. Mukti means giving up one's position in ignorance or illusion by which one thinks in a way contrary to his constitutional position. Returning to one's constitutional position is called mukti, and the process by which one does this is called yoga. Thus, yoga is about karma, jnana, and sankhya. Indeed, yoga is the ultimate life, a goal of life. Krishna therefore advised Arjuna to become a yogi. And Lord Krishna further advised in Bhagavad Gita that the first class yogi is he who has come to the platform of devotional service. Yoginam, api sarvesham, manjatena virahana, shradavan vajate yomam, sama yuktira momata. Of all yogis, he who abides, always abides in me with great faith, worshiping me and transcending my loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Thus, one who always thinks of Krishna from the core of his heart is the best yogi. By practicing this best of all yoga systems, one is liberated from the material condition. Translation, therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness which can burn the seed of fruitive activities artificially created by the modes of material nature and stop the flow of the intelligence and wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. In other words, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, his ignorance is immediately dissipated. So, Prabhupada described in the previous verses the process by which the jiva ends up in samsara, and the root cause was this ignorance of the Supreme Lord. Ajnana Mula was that word used. And because of that ignorance, everything that takes place in the material world is actually useless, like the dream in comparison to our waking life. Therefore, he says, you have to cut out this root, the seed, which the seed of this samsara, which is ignorance, and which leads to the activities of the three gunas and the karma, etc. So that is what he refers to when he says bija nirarana, to uproot the bija. What is the bija of samsara? That is the ignorance. He also gives a solution to it. And he says it is yoga. And this yoga destroys or cancels out the flow, the continual flow of the intelligence in waking, in dreaming, and deep sleep. So in other words, all three states will be eradicated by yoga. Why he talks about the three states? Because it's the three states that are our states of consciousness, and these three states give rise to desires, activities, karma, etc. In other words, samsara, rebirth of the material world. So everything is related together, the karma and the gunas, the states of consciousness, three states of consciousness, etc., activities in the material world, all are interconnected. So, nevertheless, the nature of the jiva is to be conscious and to perceive and to act and to experience, etc. In the material world, of course, it is all material consciousness, material activity, material experience, all of which is unsatisfying. Nevertheless, the jiva cannot destroy that propensity for action, perceiving, experiencing, etc. It's in nature. So, the two processes of yoga, jnana and stanga yoga, concentrate on the destruction element. Let us destroy the ignorance. Consequently, we can destroy the activities, the gunas, the karma, material desire, etc. And then one is free. And this is the definition of mukti, to be situated in your sarup. Sarupena devasataha. So, one in the state of mukti, one is situated in one's sarup. That is, one is aware, one is eternal, conscious, etc., has qualities of jiva or ama. So, the goal of yoga and jnana is this, to get free from all of these things. Destroy the material attachments and conceptions, etc. Stop the waking, dreaming, deep sleep states, etc. And you come to the fourth state, which is pure consciousness, which they call chinmatra, just consciousness, apart from all of these coverings of ignorance. So, this is praised in the scripture because it is a solution to the problem. It gets rid of samsara and ignorance, etc. However, as Prabhupada points out in the purport, the real solution is actually bhakti. That is the real yoga. So why? What is the difference? So the difference lies in the fact that these yoga systems, the other yoga systems, simply destroy the karmas, etc., that covering by knowledge and not the body. The process of bhakti is not aimed at destroying these coverings. That's a secondary goal or a secondary effect. The main goal of that yoga is to situate the jiva in his natural propensity to experience, know, act, etc. So, in other words, this is a more satisfying result for the jiva. Simply getting rid of his material coverings, that's good in the sense that he realizes the eternal, but it does not satisfy his propensity for knowing, acting, experiencing, etc. So for that reason, the bhakti yoga process is considered to be a step higher than the step of liberation. So previously I mentioned that this Brahman realization of mukti is a realization of the Lord. It's a realization of the Lord minus all of his shaktis. So in other words, it is simply something spiritual. So in that state, the jiva experiences freedom from suffering, freedom from ignorance. And in essence, we can say he is peaceful and blissful. By the perfection of bhakti, the jiva can experience, what can he experience? Bliss of a relationship with the Lord. What can he know? He can know the Supreme Lord, and he can know other jivas, he can know spiritual activities of the Lord. What can he do? He can do various activities to serve the Lord. So this is more satisfying for the jiva. So fortunately, all these activities and experiences of the jiva are in the liberated state. They do not cause karma or bondage. They do not give a rise to birth and death. And they result in eternal bliss. So, therefore, this is a preferable state for the jiva. So this is when we talk about being situated in the surup. So mukti, the impersonal liberation, liberates you in your surup. Yes, in your surup is jiva with being eternal and being conscious. That much is there, without the ignorance covering, etc. But the other surup we're talking about is the jiva to be situated in his spiritual form, in the spiritual world, serving the Supreme Lord. So that is a higher type of surup. So that is the that will give satisfaction to the jiva. The trick, however, is that if you simply aim for a spiritual body in the spiritual world, you can get that, definitely. But you don't get the best result. So therefore, it is advised in the Bhagavatam, the real devotee does not strive for sarupya, spiritual body, or salokya, goloka, planet of the Lord, or sarsti, powers, spiritual powers, like this. He doesn't want any of these things. He doesn't even, his condition is not even, I must be near the Lord, in samipya. His only aim is to somehow please the Lord by his service. That's all. So, even these other goals which are achieved by bhakti should not be the goal. If the goal is only that service, then one will get the highest aspect of salokya, sarsti, samipya, etc. And one gets something much more than that. One gets the highest bliss. If one has these other goals in mind, definitely one can get them. One can get a spiritual body, a spiritual place, etc. But the degree of bliss is going to be less as a result of that. Much less. It'll certainly be more than the bliss of the impersonalist who gets merely Brahman. But it is less than the person who practices pure bhakti. So therefore, when we talk about bhakti or yoga here, the real yoga is not just bhakti, but pure bhakti, uttama bhakti, or sudha bhakti, niskinshana bhakti. This is the bhakti that is advised by the great devotees like Prahlad. So it is this bhakti which will destroy the conditioned state, three conditioned states of consciousness. It will destroy the desires, it will destroy the karmas, it will destroy the three gunas, it will destroy birth and death in the material world. It does all that. Because it destroys that automatically, it destroys ajnana, because bhakti recognizes the Supreme Lord. But more than that, the process of bhakti by recognizing the Supreme Lord, not only that, the real devotee realizes his position of pure service to the Lord. So that pure service gives rise to the best results. Certainly we must recognize the Lord. That is superior to recognizing Brahman or Atma. But more than simply recognizing the Lord is to recognize that our position is one of service without desire for results for ourselves. Then one
gets the highest result. So that is the highest form of bhakti yoga. Now, of course, all types of bhakti yoga are superior to karma, jnana, and yoga. But within bhakti yoga, then we'll have a mixed type of bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, nagunas, etc. But pure bhakti is considered the best type of bhakti. So this is the foundation of the nectar of devotion. It begins with a definition of pure bhakti. And everything, all the results that come from that, in terms of the rasas and everything else explained there in the second, third, and fourth parts of the book, all derived from pure bhakti, not mixed bhakti. So the same is there in the Bhagavatam. Repeatedly, the different devotees have explained that the process is pure bhakti, without desires for other things. So this gives the best result for the jivas in the material world. Above that, and that's also one of the unique features of Bhagavatam, is that not only must have pure bhakti to the Lord, but the best form of pure bhakti to the Lord is bhakti to Krishna. Because he is Swayam Bhagavan. So this is the ultimate point of the Bhagavatam. Not just to any form of the Lord, but to Krishna. So of all the different worships, of all the different forms, worshipping Krishna gives the best result. It will give the best type of bliss compared to all these other things. So when we hear about all these different instructions, then we should keep that in mind. So it is not just bhakti yoga, it is pure bhakti. And not just pure bhakti, it is bhakti to Krishna, which is the ultimate message of the Bhagavatam. This, however, will not be stated directly everywhere. They'll just say worship the Lord, or worship Vishnu, or worship Narasimha, or whatever. Different forms are there. But implicit is the final conclusion of the Bhagavatam, which is in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, end of the Bhagavatam, and in the 10th canto, that the highest form of bhakti is to concentrate on the form of Krishna and his activities. And therefore the 10th canto is dedicated to the description of Krishna. So that is the final solution. That is the yoga which is finally recommended to Bhagavatam. As a secondary result of that, all of this takes place. We can destroy the karmas and the gunas and the rebirth of the material world. We'll destroy the seed of all of that. Destroy the flow of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep states, etc. All of that automatically takes place. That, however, is not the real goal of bhakti yoga. That is simply the secondary side effect of it. In fact, it is regarded as, all of this is regarded as, in one sense, useless. Or it's so secondary that it is of no significance. And therefore, the quality of bhakti, one of the six qualities of bhakti, is the fourth quality. Yeah. Fourth quality of bhakti is that it regards liberation as insignificant, useless, even though it is the goal of Varnashram system, Artha Dharma Kama Moksha. It is completely regarded as useless, insignificant by the person in bhakti, especially the person in bhava bhakti. Because the person in bhava bhakti has a realization of the Lord and realizes that liberation in Brahman is nothing in comparison to the realization of the Lord. So that Brahman is the position where you destroy your karmas, you get rid of the flow of the three states of consciousness, etc. Okay? So, the devotee rejects that completely as insignificant, useless. disregards it. So therefore, we should never think that the goal of yoga is simply to get this result. This very secondary result.
In fact, Haridas Thakur, he, in praise of chanting the holy name, said that even Namabhas, which is a reflection of the name or whatever, we can say a dull representation of the name, is such that it can cause liberation, destroy all your karmas. It's Namabhas, as we see in the case of Ajahn. So even the Namabhas, not even pure bhakti or pure chanting, even that abhas is the power to destroy all karmas, etc. So it is not a very significant goal for the devotee at all, because it's already achieved by the devotee. Of course, this is very insulting to people that heard it, and they said, how can it be so? The great jnanis are there, and you're saying that, you know, all of this is useless because a person is accidentally chants the name of superior to him. But nevertheless, it is the statement of the Bhagavad and the statement of other scriptures. So, therefore, this idea of liberation is a secondary effect, not most, and actually disregarded by the devotees. The Prabodhananda Saraswati also says that bhakti and mukti, mukti itself, liberation, destruction of karmas, they are like maidservants to bhakti and the devotee. So the devotee advances, and personifications of bhakti and mukti are there with folded hands, pleading with the devotee, please, we want to serve you. We want to serve you. Okay? We want to give you material things, bhakti. We want to give you liberation, brahma, destruction of your karma, etc. And the devotee disregards these two servants and kicks them away. He says, all useless, useless, get away. We don't like you. So that is the nature of the devotee. He has no regard for these as goals, and does not strive for these things. If one does bhakti and has a tendency to this, the bhakti becomes mixed and consequently less effective, less result. So it's no longer pure bhakti. Yeah. So the devotee has to strive for this pure bhakti. Yeah. And this will give him the best result. Generally, they fix their form, etc., by their sadhana in this world. But whatever sadhana they do, that determines their sthayi bhava in the spiritual world. Sthayi bhava is their permanent bhava, a relationship with the Lord. So that is fixed by sadhana, repeated births of sadhana, striving for a certain relationship with the Lord. That gets fixed in the sadhana stage. And then when they go to the spiritual world, that's what they attain. So generally that becomes their eternal relationship. Otherwise, the sthayi bhava would have no significance in the spiritual world. You change your sthayi bhava every day, then that wouldn't make any sense.
This verse here also says, through the yoga process, you destroy the gunas, etc. So often we'll see verses like that. And we'll praise bhakti, it destroys your karma, it destroys avidya, etc. So this, of course, is a concession to people who are aiming to destroy misery, etc., to get relief from material distress, etc. So to pacify these people, whatever, it gives these secondary goals as products of bhakti. But we should understand these are all ultimately secondary goals. The same with the Brahman thing. Yes, whatever jnana or yoga can give, bhakti can also give back. But of course, it also gives more. But it definitely gives whatever those processes can give. So therefore, that a verse like this will show you. Brahma Bhubaya Kalpata. Yes, very easily the person surpasses the gunas and attains the Brahman stage. But of course, he's more than, he gets more than that.